Welcome back to Binge Worthy Podcast. Today we will be throwing it back in time with the music drama-filled film Dreamgirls. I am Starley, and I'm here with my co-host
Casey Kelsey
and LaRasha.
All right, y'all. So let's jump right into it. How do we feel about Dreamgirls?
It's iconic. it's iconic. Period. Period.
It's literally one of the greatest musicals I've ever seen. And I'm not talking like the biopic musicals, because I don't think Dreamgirls should really go into that category, even though it's like kind of based on like Diana Ross and the Supremes. But
what? It is?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, it makes so much more sense now, though. But I think maybe I forgot that, but like I didn't, it makes a lot of sense, because she was out here wilding for a little minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we can put it in that category, but it's really not, because it's not a biopic. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's not. Because it was a play, so it was a musical. And then, you know, how most popular musicals, when they get big, they get put on the big screen. Yeah, because the original musical, Loretta Devine, was in that one, right? Which was her reason for her cameo at the end. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I just think it's one of the greatest musicals. The storyline is, like, perfect. I like how it's still like relatable to just how the music industry works. It's not just about, oh, you know, Effie and Dana having their little beef with each other because of Curtis and then Jimmy. It's really related to how dirty the music industry is, for one. And I like how it relates to at that time, and still a little bit with the time now, like the rioting and politics and how they're able to incorporate that and still swing it into that beautiful written story.
Yeah, I think it also highlights too how music repeats itself is not what I want to use, but like it gets sampled or stolen or used in like several different ways. Like, people don't realize, like, Beyonce's hit, like, one of the Uh-Oh song, that was a clear sample of James Brown getting on up. And people, the similarities in the songs that were decades old are now popping back up in, like, slower tempos, samples, rap songs, just the beat is used, or, you know, just, like, the hook or whatever. Those things were very, like, apparent in that movie, and I think it just shows, like, there's a lot of great artistry out there, but unfortunately, some of the time, it's done in a not-so-ethical way where people are fighting for the rights of music and don't get the credit that they deserve.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think now it's more, people are more aware of it now, so to speak. Because, like, I don't know, especially with our generation, there's nothing original.
100%. But, like, just the Black excellence that was there, a lot of great vocals. I think at that time, the girl who, she came in right after Effie left.
Michelle,
because at that time, in real life, her character was also doing like Princess and the Frog. And so I think there was a lot
you're
of talking
about time. Laurel.
Laurel?
You're referring to Laurel. Laurel was the original dream girl.
She never left.
Yeah.
Laurel never left.
I was thinking of the other girl. So Laurel just, I feel like they didn't spotlight her like that, but like her moments were everything.
But that was her character. It wasn't more so of like, oh, spotlighting the actress, because everybody pretty much, after that, she pretty much blew up after Dreamgirls. I mean, they all did. I mean, except for Beyonce, because Beyonce was already up there. But I think the character Lil was that background singer, like that type of singer that just knew that she had no other, like she just stuck around and probably like how the Supremes was. Effie got kicked out, but that Lorel didn't go. And she, they're both were technically in the shadows of Dana, who is Diana. But
I think Lorel was just okay with not being the star. There's some people who just want to be the center of it. And I think that was
I think you're hitting it right on, Star. But getting into like the acting of each and every one of them, the cast was fantastic. This is no shade to Jamie Foxx at all, but compared to Ray Charles, this is probably one of his best performances too. Because, I mean, I've seen him in a lot of stuff, but like for me as Jamie Foxx, like my top three is Ray, Dreamgirls, and Django. Like he definitely killed it in Django. Like those are my top three Jamie Foxx.
I agree, Casey. I actually agree. Yes.
So just the cast alone, like, and I love me some Eddie Murphy. And I've pretty much seen him in all of the movies, but it was interesting at the time as a kid, I will say, watching the Eddie Murphy movies that I had seen at the time, to see him in this musical element. And as an adult looking at it, it really shows me how talented this guy is, because at first, I didn't think that was his real voice singing. Like, I'm like, there's no way Eddie Murphy sounds this good. Like, it starts like, but then I'm like, okay, I think it is him. I don't know if he had a little help with the vocals. I don't really know.
He used to do music, though, a little bit.
I heard that. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, when I watch it, even to this day, I'll be like, is that really Eddie?
Did you know?
Right, it's that one part when he holds that note. It kind of changes a little bit. It sounds like him, but it doesn't. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he needed that extra vocal help. Like they layered someone with like they Zac Efron'd his ass. That's what I'm thinking.
Finding out so much new information in this podcast. So
in High School Musical,
High School Musical, girl, that was not his voice. That broke my heart.
That was not his voice. It messed up my whole childhood. The first one is not him.
We can't go too much into that. We gotta review that.
It's not him, LaRasha. They didn't have time to re-record all of the songs, he wasn't like vocally prepared. So like they kind of mixed his voice with the original Troy. And then in other songs, it was just the original Troy. Like, it wasn't him at all. Like, we're soaring. That's not him.
We was bamboozled.
To this very day, like, applaud Jennifer Hudson. Like,
amen.
She killed it. That was her first role. She didn't know how to dance. And she just, like, killed it. And she was winning. She won awards for this role. I like consistency in an actor as well. And it wasn't a moment where it was like, that line was a little iffy. She said it like that. Like, she was consistent from beginning to end. And I think they both equally put in the same amount of work. It's kind of ironic that, you know, Beyonce had to lose so much weight and then Jennifer Hudson had to gain a lot of weight. So
she had to lose weight. See, I'm finding out so much.
She had to lose. She lost quite a bit of weight. She was really growing during that time.
Mm-hmm. She was like skinny mini.
She definitely put strict diet. She did her assignment for the film.
What is the best? I know it's really probably hard to compare, but what is the best song? Or like, what's the top song for y'all?
I don't have a top song at this moment, but the first thing that comes to my mind is the Lorel Loves Jimmy. I love that scene. Like, could you imagine breaking up with somebody in that way? You look good and your vocals on point.
I like, so me and my cousin watched Dreamgirls the moment it came out to the moment it came out in DVD. Like, we watched it so much. I got the soundtrack, like a hard copy. I bought it. Yes. And I played that when I was cleaning. Like, that was what I listened to.
Wait, can you act it out?
So, can I act it out?
With singing? Do you act out the soundtrack when you put it up?
I acted, because, like, it's crazy because the soundtrack goes in order, of course, of the movie. So, like, yes, me and my cousin, we would be in the living room. We used to be in the living room all the time doing the entire movie, like the lines, the songs, the choreography. And we watched it over and over again till we got it. And, like, even now, we'll just, like, randomly act it out. Like, somebody would say something, I'd be like, lay off Effie. Just take the money and run. She'll come in and be like, cool it. Like, it'll just roll off for us. But to answer your question, LaRasha, I don't really have a favorite because I know it all, but if I had to choose, it'll probably be the remix to One Night Only. That, you want all my love and my devotion.
Yeah.
Hey, they stole that song, but they did it better. Oh, I ain't gonna lie.
They look good. I like those.
They look good.
It's All Over. I love that because I love acting it out when I hear it. Because I just think it's so funny. And then I say the I Am Changing scene. I love that song. I think it relates to just like anybody.
Quick story about I Am Changing. The first time I ever sung in front of an audience, I did that song.
Are you going to bust the vocal for us today?
No. Like, I really appreciate the music. It, like, all of the songs are great, too. And the choreography. You know I'm a dancer, so the choreography is, like, whew, so good. Especially Stepping to the Bad Side. They was lit on that. And you could tell that just watching it, how much fun they were having.
It was the funniest thing when we did it in high school for the play. That was the funnest thing to do, was step into the bad side.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get picked for that play. So, but look at stuff. She only favored people that was in her class. That was the issue. I didn't take her choir class. Look, yeah, I'm holding grudges because if I become an actress, I'm blasting her. I'm not playing. I am. I'm going to blast her. I'm going to be like, yeah, I didn't get picked for a play until my senior year. Yeah, and you know, she told me to my face if I had another year, she'll probably give me a main character.
That's crazy.
This review bringing up a lot of emotions.
It is. I know it's from the original play, and those kind of things get tricky, but here's the ultimate question. Have you guys heard the original Effie sing I'm Telling You?
Yes.
Who did it better? I'm going on mute.
No comment.
I don't want to be scorned for this.
I know. You got to be careful. Things come back around.
I think they're both talented individuals, but I do appreciate in my time when Dreamgirls came out, I will say Jennifer did her thing.
I don't know. The casting director, the casting crew did a fantastic job. They knew what they were looking for and they got it and delivered one of the greatest musicals I have ever seen. Yeah, I love that movie. Do you think this movie kind of set the platform for other musicals or no?
Absolutely. Like, I feel like it made them step their cookies up.
Like, how so? Give an example. Like, I'm trying to think of movies that came. Honestly, is it just me or there has been like a big gap in musicals after Dreamgirls?
I think there's a fairly big gap. I think that there are some films that musicals that come out, but they just don't have that it like a Dreamgirls does. It seems like it's very rare where something like a Dreamgirls comes out and shocks everyone. Because like you said, it had one, a very strong storyline, well-crafted. It came full circle. Costumes were on point. The acting was out of this world. There was no one character that was lagging in any way. Like, it's just so much to unpack in that one film. Like, that's not the type of film you just walk away from. Every time you watch it, I feel like it's like you're watching it for the first time. And you get that excitement, that thrill again.
That's crazy, because I definitely feel that way every single time I watch it. And I'm at the point, too, when I watch it sometimes, I fast forward. And not because like in a bad way, like, oh, I'm gonna fast forward it, because I know what I'm looking for and I wanna see that scene.
Like, and in some musicals though, if we're being honest, some people skip past like the music portions of it because they just don't feel the songs like that. But Dreamgirls to me is not one of those films that you skip through the songs. If anything, you're skipping towards them.
Exactly. And I've met people who's like, yeah, I really don't like musical movies, but I like Dreamgirls.
And this is how I'm going to show you the difference. I watched Dreamgirls a gazillion times, right? And that came out in 2006. After that, mind you, these are not in order. There are some Disney hits, which Disney Channel original movies, they were just coming out with stuff. So, like, that's typical. Around that time, right before Rent the musical came out, the movie version, and I've seen that a couple times, right? 2007, Hairspray came out, the one with Zac Efron, Queen Latifah. That was a good one. Around that same time, Sweeney Todd came out, which it's in its different pocket. I won't compare it to Dreamgirls. Mamma Mia came out a few years later. And then you're starting to get into, like, the Pitch Perfect realm, Moana, like, those new Disney ones, Burlesque, I think was the next where people were like, ooh, Burlesque. I didn't really watch Rock of Ages, but that's not, I appreciate what that was for other people. Les Miserables, that's an opera, so very different. The newer Annie with Jamie Foxx, that was all right. And then you start getting into the animated stuff like Sing, Mommy Again, La 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 came out in 2016. That was all right. Into the Woods. I personally don't like the movie version of Into the Woods, but the musical was better. And then you start getting into the newer stuff like The Greatest Showman, A Star Is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody, Cats. I'd never watched.
I heard that didn't really do well.
Cats, yeah, it didn't do well at all. And it's crazy considering the cast.
To the point of this, all of this is like, there has been a gap in great musicals since Dreamgirls came out. Even like with all that you said, LaRasha, there still hasn't, and I think in particular, there still hasn't been an all Black cast musical.
You know what? That is out of what you said. Yeah. Not that I can think of at the moment, no. Okay, so what is one of y'all's favorite scenes?
When Effie and Dina realize they've been played.
Are you referring to when Effie comes back and to find out that she has a child with Curtis?
Yes. And then that scene at the end when she's like pointing to her daughter and then he realizes like, oh shit. They not only do they both know.
She wasn't just getting at her.
Right. I have a daughter. And then she's right next to me. Iconic.
I would probably have to say. This is going to be weird. Because y'all going to be like, I don't know, movies. This is your favorite one. But my favorite scene was when Eddie said, no mayonnaise. No mayonnaise on a chicken sandwich. And then another scene is when they was like, when he said, she said, round and around. And then, no, I'm sorry. It took me forever to get there. But when Epi said, round and around, he said, shit, I know you had it.
I did, because that's one of my favorite parts, too. Oh, shoot.
Honestly, I want to be like super, now that I'm thinking about it, any scene with Eddie Murphy in it, I probably enjoyed the most because it's just nice to see him bring that comedic element to it, because it could have been all serious, but like he definitely carried just those like the scene when he was with all them white people. Yeah, I love me some Jimmy. I love me some Jimmy, but I can't be singing behind. All right, let's talk about the costumes though. We didn't hit on that.
Love.
Because that could have went left. I think all of the costumes were great. There is this one outfit that Beyonce had on. Actually, all of them. It's the same scene of the Laurel Loves Jimmy, that red outfit they had on.
With the long sleeve arms.
Yeah, and they had the braids. That was so pretty. The costumes, the hair, the makeup, it just fit. And I feel like whereas a lot of movies could really fail in that sense of having bad costumes, bad wigs. And it's like, I don't know. It's this movie did not miss to me.
I really liked all of Beyonce's. Well, first off, I loved her with the darker hair. I just thought it brought out the features in her face so beautifully. But also, I love the scene where she did all those costume changes. I think it was the When I First Saw You scene. I thought that was just so dope. Like all the different costume changes. And I know her mother did one of the dresses. So that was just really cool to see.
Miss Tina did one of the dresses?
Yeah, she did. She did.
See? I know that.
I really like the disco outfits too when they did the remix too. What song was it? It was when they did the remix to Effie song. They stole Effie song. I like those costumes. And I love the big curly wig hair. That was so pretty.
To see Curtis do the same thing that happened to them. And with the Cadillac song. And how that song pushed him to go harder and do some dirty work. And it's just crazy to see how, like, dang, people really be on that. Like, you should know how this feel. Why are you doing this to someone else?
See, the final nail in the coffin with Curtis came for me when they played the Patience song for him. And he was like, well, it's still a message song. He was so far removed from, I feel like, why they even started in the music industry. And was just all about the money, the bang of the buck, and what was popular. Even if it didn't sound that great. Like, you had to stoop so low as to steal Effie's song. Because you're trying to keep up with this time, but you don't really know exactly what it is you're doing.
I feel like the first red flag of his character really coming out was how he said that they're going to switch to Dana being lead because she has the face.
Dana was a product to him.
Mm-hmm.
How y'all really feel? Do y'all feel it's binge worthy?
Hell yeah. You can watch it 3 times in a row.
And I don't need to give a whole spiel. Just watch it.
Well, thank you for joining us today for Binge Worthy Podcast. We'll see you next time.